Well, it's good to be here tonight again. I could go to church every night of the week because I love the church. I love the body of believers. I love to be where God's people are gathered. By the way, transformed by grace divine. How does it resonate in your heart tonight? Transformed by grace divine. What does it look like to be transformed or being transformed? What does that look like? Did you ever watch a cocoon? Inside of the cocoon is the ability. And sometimes we want to be transformed and we want the life of ease in that transformation, do we not? But that cocoon must labor, must struggle to complete and to enter the process of transforming into a beautiful butterfly. And we behold that beauty and we see the glory of the Lord through this butterfly and we say, wow! Now tonight, transformed by grace divine, what does that look like in your life? Brother Doug, you shared about the apple tree opens the gateway for what we want to talk about tonight. We want to talk about the home tonight. The home. I don't know how much you get involved in the American home tonight. We have a model that is called the American Dream. And we have attempted to pursue that for many, many years. Entailed in that is a life of leisure, a life of retirement, money at our fingertips, and we call it the American Dream. However, the American Dream has manifest itself in the fact that it's not really a dream. At the end, and if you get into the lives and the hearts of the homes of America today, there is devastation as such I've never experienced in the history of my short time. I see the brokenheartedness. And you know, if you go to the prisons and you converse with those men and those women much at all, if they had another opportunity for the biggest percentage of those men or those women, they'd do it all different, wouldn't they? Yeah, you know, my heart tires. And the Bible says, don't be weary, but lift up the hands that hang down. And tonight I want to do just that. Lift up the hands that hang down. And I want to cry out before a sovereign God and go to the authority of His Word and there find the answers that lie there. Hidden nuggets of truth all over God's Word for the answers of our dilemmas in life. Do you believe tonight in your heart that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is your final authority? Do you really believe that tonight? Let's check our hearts if we're going to say yes. Every decision, every motive, every intent, every purpose of my heart, every action becomes subject to the authority of God's gospel. Huh? What about that? That includes our purchasing of things. That includes our lips. Our mouth, our words, you know what the Bible says? That by our words we're either going to be justified or we're going to be condemned. And I cry out to you, Lord Jesus, tonight, protect my mouth. Control my tongue. That I may speak life and I may speak it as the Holy Spirit would have it spoken tonight. That God's word would communicate to us the truth and the reality. I go to revival meeting after revival meeting. And for the most part, and I bless you tonight because I see about as many men here as I do women. For the most part, women are touched emotionally about the needs around them. And a woman thinks with her heart, right? A man is a bulldozer. He can fix all things. He can plow through. He can blaze the trail. I'm indispensable. I'll tell you a little secret about my own stupidity and help you to realize, got me nowhere. In my younger years, at the age of 12, because I came from a poor family, I began to follow a wire-tied hay baler. Anybody know what those are? Yeah, some of those bales will reach 100 pounds if they're a little what we call tough. And those wires, you can pick them up, and if you snap it quick enough and hard enough, you can snap the wire. Well, I started following this hay baler. And I begin to notice something and pride begin to dwell in my heart, young man. You know, the Bible says that we can choose to satisfy our heart. We can choose to do whatever we want. We can go anywhere we want to, but God is going to bring judgment on all those actions. Isn't that beautiful tonight? So, you know, we're serving a satisfied God. Well, I begin to notice something happening to the biceps on the arm, and I was quite pleased with that because they begin to grow. And then I begin to watch the shirt sleeves and, well, yeah, I'll tell you something else. I got to tell you this to finish this. But the other day I was driving down the road and I had my arm hanging out of the window of the truck and I seen something flapping. I thought, what is that? What is that? It reminded me of something. Dust you are created and dust you shall return, Brother Danny. And so I raised my heart in pride, and I like to watch these sleeves bulge. And so a short sleeve shirt, you got to the point where it was full. I'd flex these muscles. You know. Oh, nobody looking. You know, like. Well, that wasn't enough. I went home and I found me an iron bar that was about that big around and about this long. And you know what? I guess you guys call them cinder blocks out here. They're the double-hold cinder blocks, 8x16. I started putting those on the end of them. I grabbed them and I began to press them. And I liked what happened there. They got even bigger. And so in pride, I began to depend upon the strength and the arm of flesh. And from there I walked to an ungodly road, church, that led me to the pits of hell. I loved violence. I loved to do you wrong. And you cross me, I'll have your throat. You see, that's where that life of pride took me. Because inside of me welled up something. Something that I am somebody. Had a serious case of rejection in my younger years. Didn't really know how to deal with it. I thought violence, anger, and the way of the world was the answer. I learned different. And God was able, by His grace, His mercy, His power, to take me through that experience. And one day, hallelujah, the light came on. The light came on. I seen Jesus Christ. And tonight, if you've met Jesus Christ face to face, you no longer are the same. You are different. You are different. That's what happens when we meet Jesus. Now, I shall try to move along tonight. Scripture has much to say about this institution, the home. And Scripture is very explicit about details about the home. It includes everyone. And tonight, I look out across you, and we are by large products of a home that we have come through. Now, we have to understand something. The Spirit of God is the only one that has the ability to convict you and I. And tonight, I challenge you leaders, if you want the convictions of your heart and your life to be passed on, it's only going to happen by your children finding it in the authority of God's Word. There's where they're going to find it. There's where they're going to build those convictions. And I've watched fathers stand before their sons in a rage of anger, in a fit of frustration, and they try to push and to mold and to build that child into their image, and it doesn't happen. And they don't understand why. Listen, my dear people, until we make this the authority of our life, we will never change. We're never going to find what we're looking for. But because the Holy Spirit is the authority and the power of this precious Word, He has the authority to change you and I. And I get excited about this because I see change. I see transformation. I see different people than what they were. And it becomes very, very evident. I'd like for you to look this evening real quickly at the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And your heart and mine are in one of these places of this chapter. And then we want to move on to the to the home. It says this, it's a parable. It's talking about the sowing, the parable of sowing. And I love to plant hay. Anybody in here that plants hay? Do we have any such people? Yeah, there's one. Yeah, we got a few of them. Well, I like to tear up the ground and make the ground fallow, broken ground. And by the way, a proud heart can't be filled because it's proud. Did you ever think about that? Can't fill a proud heart. And if your heart is already full, the only way it can be changed and refilled is by becoming broken and emptied. So tonight, if you're looking for change in your life, if you're looking for something different, the only way it's going to happen is if you're broken before the Lord. And then you see a need. You see a need. What happens to a child when his or her toy breaks? They find a source because they realize they have a need. The wheel of my little tractor came off, and I can't roll my tractor, so where do they go? They usually go to Dad, don't they? Some cases, they'll go to Mom. If they need a twisty for a hitch, they'll go to Mom. But they have a need. And so in America, what's happened when it comes to the home and to our relationships is this. We're full. We're filled with the rudiments that pleases the flesh, and we're satisfied in the flesh, so we say, we have no need. We have no need. Well, notice what this says. It says this, and as I break up that fallow ground, literally, to plant alfalfa seed, I break it up, and I like to get it looking like a seed bed. Last thing I usually take across it is a big column mulcher, and it just breaks everything to pieces, and it's powder fine. It's ready to receive the soil, or the seed. The soil is ready to receive the seed. And then I like to broadcast my seed. I don't know how you all do it, but I like to broadcast my seed. I think I get a better stand, far more even stand anyway. That's my opinion. It doesn't really matter. Life is not about me. And so I'll broadcast this, and when I come to the edge of the field, as I'm broadcasting, there's seed flies beyond the broken, fallow ground. Now get this picture as you go through this parable. And then we see what happens to these varying soils, how they receive the seed, what happens to the seed, and the longevity of the seed that was planted. Notice what he says. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one, who is our enemy, Satan, and he catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. And the wayside in a literal field is that ground that's not been broken up. Now, that seed will fly on top of that ground. It'll lay on top of that ground. It'll literally sprout. It'll set down a little root in an attempt to grow. And it opens up the belly of that little alfalfa seed. And out of that, there's an attempt of a sprout of life to come. Well, what happens with that wayside seed is this. Now, if we had rain every 24 hours, it'd probably grow. But guess what? It's not rooted. The root's not down far enough. So it springs forth and immediately it dies. You'll go back 3, 4, 5 days later. The seeds are all burst open. They've done shot their little sprout, but they're dead. This is what Christ is talking about. The wayside. They hear the word. They hear the word. And many times with gladness, they receive it because they find no root in the word. They die. Notice the next group of people. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy he receives it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but he endures for a little while. I took a pan about this big and about this wide at home, and I was trying to illustrate this parable, and I put stones at one end, and then I put a little bit of dirt and stones, and then I put stony ground, and then I put good, fertile soil. And so I put it up in front of the church and invited all the children to come up and sow seed where they thought it would really grow. It was amazing at the concepts of some of these little children. Some figured it ought to grow on the stones. And they put it on the stones. And then I told them, I said, now, I have to leave for revival meetings. I will water this real well. And when we come back, we're going to see where the seed really grows. It was amazing. A literal illustration of what this parable is saying. The stones, it didn't go at all. I imagine the seed, I wasn't there, but I imagine the seed probably sprung, opened up, and then it died. The stony ground, it had very sparsely here and there just a little bit of seed that made it. And that was in dire need. Well, then the next group that had more dirt, there was more seed that sprung, and it was trying to live. And then when we got to the lush, broken soil, it was beautiful, it was green, it was tall. And so I took it back to the children to present this literal picture of what this parable is talking about. Yet dureth for a while. But then when persecution or tribulation arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. Tonight, let me ask you a question. Does the word of God offend you? Is it offensive to you for someone to come to you and share the truth of God's word? Brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, here's what I see in your life. Here's what the word says. Will you consider this? You know what happens in many cases to these people? Who are you to tell me how to live my life? Who are you to come to me? Look at your own problems. You have all kinds of problems. Brothers and sisters, that's not the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God is in such a manner that I can't stand to see anybody perish. But I desire to see all come to repentance and to know the Lord in the transforming power of His grace. You see? Well, we go on. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that hears the word and, oh, here we're talking about this care of the world. You know, 1 John 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And he says, if the love of the world is in you tonight, the love of the Father is not there. You see, it's beautiful how Scripture meshes. And then it says, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. Now, brothers and sisters, this is somebody that received the word and it sprung and they begin to grow. But you know what happened? They lost the vision of what it means to be a child of God. And they begin to look at the cares of the world. Let me ask you a question tonight. How powerful is the care of the world in your life? What would happen tonight if devastation struck this community and it took everything that you can touch, you can taste, you can see, and you can handle? Would you still have faith in God? Would your faith still be vibrant because you would know in your heart that it's the unchangeable hand of God that holds your life? You know, it's easy to answer those questions, church. But the reality is truth. And the reality, you know, when you take a sponge and you squeeze it, whatever's in the sponge comes out. And sometimes when God squeezes my sponge, I have to repent. I've got to repent. Now, many today, when it comes to the home, have lost the vision of what the home is all about. They've lost it. And there's a reason for it, and we'll get to that in a little bit. It says, but he, and here's the exciting part, church. Let's rejoice, because in Christ Jesus, it is possible to be this seed, to be this ground, to bring forth this fruit. But he that received seed into the ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also bears fruit, brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Tonight, as a child of God, your life is bearing fruit. I ask you the question tonight, what kind of fruit is your life really bearing? Is God's word the authority of your life tonight? Well, I would like to go to the book of Ephesians and look at Titus 2 for a minute. And we want to find some direction tonight by God's grace, His divine direction, His understanding of the Word. And before we read this passage, I just have to cry out to the Lord. Heavenly Father, this moment I pray, bless Your Word. Rain down the authority of Your Spirit to interpret this Word to my heart tonight, to each and every heart here. That we could understand, that we could see, that we could know, and then by the power of Your indwelling Spirit, that we could live it out. Flesh it out, God, as You've called us to flesh it out. Lord, bring Your Word to life, I beg, that we would see and know in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Chapter 5, down in verse 14, it says, wherefore, pay attention, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That's a very fitting verse for our homes today. Awake, you that are sleeping. And sometimes I hear this cry over and over in the churches. Where are the men? No, my cry is, where are the leaders that God has called to lead and to stand in the gap and not to drop the ball, but to pick it up and know what to do with it? You see, where are they? Well, arise, awake. By the way, tonight, brothers, this is a powerful question. You must answer it. Because one day you and I, as a leader of a church, as a leader of a home, as a man that preaches the gospel, I'm going to stand in the presence of a sovereign God. And I'm going to give an account. I will give an account. By the way, tonight, brothers, who leads your home, you or your wife? You know, at home, we used to have some issues. And I'd share with the children, and, well, it ain't my fault, man. It's because of him that I done. No, wait a minute. If we're going to resolve an issue, we must admit we have an issue. Now, how many of you here tonight would recognize the fact that leadership in America in the church is an issue? Yeah. We have some hands go up. It is an issue. The reason I say that is because I observe the dysfunction of many, many homes. Remembering this, brothers, remembering this, leaders, that a woman thinks with her heart. And if you are not being the leader that you're called to be, guess what? The heart of your wife kicks into gear at 150 mile an hour. I know a young man right now, used to be in our church, no longer is. But he used to be in our church. I pled with that man as his leadership. And one of the greatest elements that is missing in our leadership today is the ingredient of sobriety. You can read it all through Scripture. Sobriety is this, it's not this. That's not sobriety. Sobriety is constantly and soberly being aware of what I'm doing now and where it's going to take me then. That's sobriety. So it's calling to order, it's calling to order the needs at hand. I watch brothers sometimes who make an attempt to discipline a child, and I'm not downplaying anybody here. These things I'm sharing is encouragement. They are encouragement. Here's what I'm saying. If you know you're lacking in your leadership, then cry out to God, and by the grace of God, step to the plate. Because God is calling you to be a leader. God never created the woman to be the leader. And in the Garden of Eden, if you don't believe that, Eve was first deceived, and then Adam. But who did God call when He came to the garden? Did He say, Eve, where are you? No, He said, Adam, where art thou? Now, God in His sovereignty and all-knowing, He knew exactly where Adam was hiding. That's not what God was looking for. God was looking for a response of accountability to this man that He had created. Adam, really, what happened? God is looking to you and I as leaders tonight, and He's saying, Brother Denny, what's happening? How are you leading? Are you leading, in fact, or are you not? I believe largely what has happened in our culture today with the life of leaders is this. For the most part, we got sidetracked. And I believe we are sleeping. We are sleeping in the element of pleasing ourselves. We want to do what we enjoy. Let me give you an illustration. I know of men who play at least on 4 different ball teams every week. The question is, playing a game of ball wrong? The answer is no. But the question is not playing ball. The question is your unavailability to lead your home. That's the question at hand. And so they every night they're gone. And you watch their children and you watch their home in dire need crying out, I need a man, I need a leader's image to lead me. And he's not there. And we could give many, many lists. I mean, some of us get so entangled in the world of the worth ethic because rightly so, the Anabaptists, they're productive, they're industrious, right? But listen, let me share something with you tonight. What claims your heart becomes your authority. What claims your heart becomes your authority. Last night we talked about sin, the bondage of sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Now we have some choices. We can stick our head in the sand as leaders and say, it'll go away. Or we can be a real man of God and we can rise to the challenge and the call of God. We can cry out to God and allow in brokenness before the Lord for God to fill us with the authority to lead. We can make those choices. We can make it under the divine influence of God's Spirit. Notice what else it says. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The redemption of time is a powerful thing. And how do you bring time into redemption? You bring it back into the authority of what God really created it for. And what did He create it for? For the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? Absolutely not. He created it for His glory. He created you and I for His glory. That's what He desired with Adam and Eve in the garden. And guess what? Don't put the blame on dear old Adam tonight. Because all of us opened the womb in the same manner. We were born in the sin nature. We were born in the sin nature. So we're all in this together. We need a Savior. We need the divine influence of the Spirit. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord leadeth. Tonight, do you understand what the will of the Lord is as a leader and young men? Are you understanding what the will of the Lord is as leaders to be in the future? I watch these scenarios to where the woman leads in the home. And by the way, if you're in a dysfunctional home like that, beware of something. And I want to bare my heart with you tonight on that. And that's this. If the woman is the leader in the home, your sons will always step out and they will choose a woman of the same identity who will be a leader and they'll cower in the background. It's a repeated cycle over and over and over and over until a young man experiences the conviction and the power of God on his life. And he says, wait a minute, I will break this chain by the grace of God and I will stand to be a leader. I will stand to be a leader. Well, knowing what the will of the Lord is, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but here we are back to what we talked about last night. Be filled with the Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How does your music world look tonight, leaders? What does that look like? The music makers of time will tell you this. You can have a nation's laws, but give me the nation's music and I'll control the nation. Music is a powerful thing. It either rises the heart to rejoicing or it stirs the heart to sensuality. Yeah, country music is of the nature, if you play it backwards, everybody gives back everybody's wife. They take back everything they stole. And we put this whole thing in reverse and we go back to the right order. You know, it used to be country music was of the nature that it was singing about the folks back home down by the river fishing. Today, it's not so. It's talking about sensuality. It's talking about sin. It's talking about lust. It's talking about thievery. And that's what it talks about. What is your music world tonight look like, brothers and sisters? What are you feasting on in the table of music? Are you bringing music back to the redemption of time? Giving thanks always, all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Leader, are you a thankful leader? Are you a man of God that continues to thank and praise God for God's goodness to you? Or are you a coveting man that is always looking beyond your situation and coveting what someone else or something else that someone really has? I want to tell you something about a coveting heart and then we'll move on. A coveting heart is a wide open door for deception. Did you know that? Because a coveting heart is not satisfied. The Bible says contentment with godliness. You know, they go hand in hand. Contentment with godliness. Are you rejoicing for the house you have? Are you rejoicing that you have an automobile? Are you thankful for the tractor that gets the job done? Or are you looking beyond, I wish, I wish, I wish? And what happens with a coveting heart is the devil says, here, I will fill it. I will fill it. I will fill it. I will fill it. And so your heart starts being filled, but it's not being filled with the glory of the Lord. Giving thanks for all things. Well, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Listen, what does the church look like? Are we submitting? Are we surrendering? Are we committing one to another? And are you okay tonight to be accountable to somebody? Are you okay to be under the authority of someone else? You know, authority is a real issue today. Wow. We see young men, we see middle-aged men, and we see older men rise to authority. If you don't believe that, sometime grab a hold of a DVD that shows the life of a police officer in the background. Sometimes I sit back and I say, stupidity in its highest reality. I watched one man who was speeding. And by the way, do you believe the laws of the land are instituted by God? Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe they're designed for our good? Yeah, the Bible talks about that. So does that mean we set the cruise at 12 mile an hour over the speed limit because we know normally we will not get caught? Huh? What about the spirit that you drive with? What about the guy that jumps right in ahead of you and cuts you off? How does that make you feel? Huh? Makes you feel real good, right? Going down the highway one day and there was this car way in the back. I pulled out on the road and I was down the road a ways. And this car was coming through the hills like this. I could just see it coming. And pretty soon it was right on me, just standing on the steering wheel. And in there was an old grandma. Couldn't believe that. She was moving on in life. And I, after it was all over with, I said she was old enough to be on the couch. But she got right in on me in the back and I could see she was angry. Or she's looking at me and she's just doing everything. And all at once, she whips around me. She gets up to my mirror and she holds out her cell phone. And she said, I'm going to call the police. I said, go ahead. I'm going on down the road. And then she got still angrier. And so she sped up and got ahead of me. And she pulled in ahead of me probably a foot, foot and a half. And when she did, she hit the brakes. And I almost ate her in the back end. And I looked at my son who was with me and I said, you know what? we really don't need to be subject to this. I said, here's a road. We'll turn off. And we turned off. And there she kind of sat on the state route 49, angry, violent about whatever. I don't know. I had done her no wrong. And we disappeared. How do we feel? How does this all look? What happens in our hearts? Brothers and sisters, a life of leadership in the home is a life that is lived in a spirit. It's not something that's manufactured. It's not something that you're going to produce. It's something that is produced by our coming to the authority of God's order. Of God's order, not mine, of God's order. God set the order, and He knew what He was doing. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord's wives. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wives, I guess I would just like to see a manifestation tonight. How many of you really love to submit to your husbands? Do we have any takers tonight? You really love to submit to your husband because you trust your husband's leadership. You trust his walk with the Lord. You trust his integrity of his heart. You trust and know he really cares for you. My younger years and my energy and busy here and there and all over the place, sometimes I lost my wife's heart. And guess what? It happened not too long ago in Jamaica in revivals. I was so intent and trying to hear the voice of the Lord and following what God. About 12 o'clock, we sat outside in Ballard's Valley on the church porch, and my wife said, "You lost me." But I found her again, praise the Lord. And our hearts joined, and it was beautiful. Tonight, leaders, are you holding the heart of your wife? Are you holding the heart of your wife? I want to tell you something here tonight, leaders. Because you have the ability to father children does not make you a leader. Because you found a spouse does not make you a leader. A leader is a life that is lived in the order and the function of what God called you to live it. That's a leader. And it's only God that can bring you there as we are surrendered and broken. And we're going to see that in these next few verses. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And I would suggest to you wives tonight that if you're struggling submitting to your husband, you're probably struggling to the authority of the Lord. They pretty well go hand in hand. And if you find that hard to do, then you probably find it hard to submit to the authority of God in your life as well. Well, for the husband is the head of the wife. Leaders, tonight I plead, pay attention to what God is saying. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. There's a comparison, a parallel being made here. You leaders are to be to the wife as Christ was to the church. He is the head. He is the head. And you are to be the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Notice what else it says. Therefore, as Christ is subject unto the church, so let the wives be to their own selves. No, that's not what it says. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Tell you a little story. There was a woman a number of years ago that wanted the wall out of her house in the foyer, as I recall. And her husband said, "No, I don't want that wall out of the house. But I want that wall left in there." I don't know if it was structural reason, whatever it was. So one day when he went to work, she grabbed the sledge, and guess what happened? The wall came out of the house, and when he came home, she said, "Now, I took it out, you put it together." Probably there would have been enough growl in me that I would have looked at my dear wife and I said, "No, you took it out, you put it together." You see? So he humbly bowed to that authority and he put the wall back together. Now we say that's extreme, but how about it, wives? Let's live up to the challenge. Do you sit by the side of your husband and you've understood how to wear him down and get him to do what you want done? Do you sit by the side of your husband with a string that's attached to either ear, and whatever it takes, you yank one to jerk his head, you drank the other to jerk his head? That's your way of resisting the leadership. Well, what about the husbands? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, tonight, do you love your wives? Are you in love with your wife, or were you instituted in lust and today you're still lusting after some woman even though you said you love your wife? There's a lot of that happening today. And it's happening more than the physical. It's happening through the sin of pornography. It's happening through many, many things. And brothers, I'm going to tell you tonight, pornography by the authority of God's gospel is sin, and it must be abandoned. It must be abandoned. You know, in the book of Galatians, it talks about 17 different sins. And if we have time tonight, I'd love to go there. But it says, those that do these things shall not, and let me repeat, shall not inherit the kingdom. Brothers, that resonates serious in my heart. The reason we sin is because the devil gets us to love the sin. You see, if he can get us to love the sin, we sin. We sin. We must love the right king. We must love the right kingdom. We must hate what God hates, and we must love what God loves. I had a young man one time on a construction crew, and he kept warning all of the other workers. There was this young lady in scarcely clad clothes kept riding by the job site. And he kept saying, keep your eyes off of her. Keep your eyes off of her. Well, one day he disappeared, and they wondered where he got, and he was back in the back bedroom. He was observing this young lady. You see, the heart was not where the mouth was. If your heart is really following your mouth, you're going to live by what you're saying. You're going to do by what you're saying. It's very simple. Well, Christ gave leaders, listen to this. This is radical tonight. Christ gave his life for the church. He laid down his life that the church could be birthed. He's the head of the church. Tonight, leaders, have you laid down your life for the sake of your home, for the sake of your wife, for the sake of your children? Have you laid that down? And have you focused your heart upon the authority of Christ and the authority of his gospel to lead that home in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that where we are tonight? Or do you love yourself so much that you're unwilling to lay down your own desires, your own things that you want, and you know by your side stands a wife that is hurting? Children that are crying, they need you. They need you. Some may tell me, I'm not a leader. That's not my gifting. I look at them and I say, then if you're married and you have children and you have a home, then you better become a leader. You better practice the role. You better kick it in gear, because we will stand in the presence of an eternal God. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Leaders tonight, are you in love with your wife? I tell people I take my chick along wherever I go. One young gal said, you're too old to talk like that. No, she's the love of my life. She's the one that I love. She's the one that I love. She really is. What else does it say? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. That he might present it to himself a glorious home. The old saying says this: as the individual, so the home. So the home, so the church. So the church, so the nation. We're crying out for America. Where do you think the accountability really lies? It lies on me, brothers and sisters. It lies on me tonight. Am I born again? Am I sanctified? Am I justified by the blood of Jesus Christ? Am I walking in newness of life as God has really called me to walk? Or am I still in that carnal state of desiring the flesh of myself, desiring my own lusts, desiring my own desires? Where am I, leader? So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Is there anybody here tonight, men, that you hate yourself? Is there anybody like that here tonight? Now, is there anybody so honest here tonight that say, you just love yourself so much that you don't really care about your wife? Is there anybody like that here? God, all God's asking for is honesty. God's asking for transparency because He already knows the heart. He understands the heart. All of Christ's teachings were straight at your heart and mine. That's where He taught them. Straight at your heart and mine. God wanted the heart of man. Well, let's look at this yet. It says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You know, leaders, we want to stay healthy. We want to stay strong. We want to be masculine. We want to. But yet, how do we stand in the presence of an eternal God with our leadership of how we're leading our home? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Listen tonight, young men, when you leave the home, cut the umbilical cord. Cut it. Notice what this verse says. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother. And I watch these young men. In their opportunity of conflict in their home, they run back to mommy and daddy. Mommy and daddy. Mommy and daddy feed the situation. They speak into it. And the turmoil and the strife and the hatred begin to rise. Grandmas and grandpas, learn how to let go. Learn how to let go. I purposed in my heart when I married Marie, I would move 50 miles from both parents because I had the freedom then to lead Marie as I really chose, I believed. And my parents never really meddled. They gave advice along the way. I don't meddle. This is one thing I did tell my sons. If I ever see you or hear of you abusing your wives, I will be on your doorstep tomorrow morning. And I mean that. I mean that. If I ever hear of that with my sons, I'm not a meddling man. I'm a praying man when it comes to the homes of my family. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particularly so love his wife as himself. Brothers, if we can wrap our heart around the love level of our life in relationship to our wives and our children, we will find great joy. We will find great joy. If I'm looking for responses from my wife, do I resist her? Absolutely not. I love her yet the more. And I love her and I love her and I love her with a never-ending love. In closing tonight, and I told you I would hurry. I'm a few minutes over. Forgive me. Notice what it says. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to God's word. Young men, I don't know how many of you feel led to enter into a relationship with a young woman. Let God's word be your final authority. No matter what comes, set your standard high. Ask God to give you the power to attain it. Men who are in relationship with a woman, cleanse your ways of selfishness, of pride. Lay broken before the altar of God and allow God to fill you and put you together as God desires you to be the leader. I can't manufacture leadership. I can't produce it, but God can. And the authority of God's word can show me the way. Wow. by taking heed thereto according to God's word. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. I tell you in closing, young men, middle-aged and old men, life is not a game. We're not playing a game of chess. We're not playing a game of checkers. We are living reality in the presence of a sovereign God. How will we live it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness to us again. Thank you for the holiness of your word. And, oh Lord, may I stand before you in soberness, consciously thinking about my life. Where will I be a million years from tonight, O Lord? Will I be singing? Will I be rejoicing as glad ages roll? Or will I remember as the rich man did, son, remember, 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 remember. God help me that I finish well. May you lead us. Precious name of Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask for commitment tonight. Every leader in here that is convinced in their heart that they will always make God's word the final authority of their life and that they will be a leader as God has called them to be a leader, and we only touched briefly on it tonight, I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer. Will you come? We would like to pray together. If you're not serious about it tonight, I ask you not to be a hypocrite. Simply don't come. Stay where you are. Be honest before the Lord. That's how the Lord is able to use us in our honesty. If you're here tonight, you're convicted that you will always make the Word of God your final authority and that you will be a leader. You truly will be a leader. Then come, join me. We'd like to pray together. We'd like to walk together. We'd like to be God's men that He's calling for us to be. I want you wives tonight to pay attention. These men are taking the courage to step, to stand, to walk to the front of this room acknowledging their intention. Can we all move in as close as possible, and we simply want to cry out to the Lord. If you feel prompted to pray tonight and ask the Lord for something in your life as a leader, I want to give you that opportunity. Don't fear man, but fear God. Fear the Lord. There's who we need to fear, brothers. It's not man. All man can do at the end of it is finally take my life, and then he's done. But God can cast both body and soul into hell. Now that's startling to me. I want to fear him with reverent respect. If you feel like you want to pray tonight, I want to open up the opportunity. Then we'll ask Brother Mark to close. Father, tonight I simply cry before you. You know my heart. Lord, you know I want to get it right. You know I want to be the leader. I want to continually lay down my life for the sake of my dear wife, as you did for the church. I want to be that man of God who stands in the gap and truly, as a leader, may you help me. I need you.